I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the Word, so go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. I'm going to have you open to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, chapter 11. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit a little bit more. That's kind of where I'm headed in both of my sessions. I love the Holy Spirit of God. Ever since I was a little boy, the Holy Spirit has always just fascinated me. He captured my attention. Captured my heart. And in this generation, I just really believe there's an undervalue of the Spirit, not necessarily in this church, but one of the reasons we value the Holy Spirit so much in this church is because we hear about Him. You know, and I feel like there's this generation, like Acts chapter 19, where Paul walks up to a crowd of believers and he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And the crowd there says, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." And, you know, there used to be a generation that maybe had some prejudice against the Holy Spirit or confusion, but I just believe there is an entire generation with a lack of knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and we get what we preach, and we get what we teach. And so I want to teach in the next few sessions, or two sessions that I'm going to have today, about the Holy Spirit of God and about His anointing on your life. You know, we're talking about an empowerment, but praise God, the Lord didn't send us to go change the world by ourselves. You know, He didn't go send us without tools and without power. He gave us the same power that He used to change the world. He taught us an example how to do this, and then He gave us the same secrets to success. And so I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today. Open your Bibles, like I said, to Numbers chapter 11. I want to show you something in reference to what Pastor Andy was saying yesterday. It's about the multiplication God's desire to have a Spirit-filled people. You know, again, in a culture that creates a lot of superheroes and a culture that creates a lot of rock stars of faith, you know, I want a Spirit-filled church. And a Spirit-filled church doesn't mean a Spirit-filled pastor doing everything and being the hot hand of glory, the hot hand of power. It's like if you need a healing, go to the pastor. If you need freedom from a bondage, go to the pastor. You know, it's like We look at the pastors, not here, but I'm teaching now. I'm just teaching for the sake of those who might not be a part of our church, but also reminding our church these same things. This church and the church of Jesus Christ is built on the body of Christ being the image of Christ in the earth, being filled with the same power, the same tools, having the same assignment. And again, too many times we've just put up platforms and people say, "That guy has an anointing, put him on a stage." But we're here to help you see you have anointing, and your stage is the world that you walk into. Your stage is the office that you work in. Your stage is the classroom that you're a teacher in. Your stage is the neighborhood and the family, the home that you live in. This stage is too small for all of God's people to stand upon. Amen. But the stage of the world is big enough for all of us. So I challenge us in our thinking, what does a Spirit-filled person look like? What does a prophetic person look like? You know, God is challenging us to be a prophetic people and to have a passion and a desire to be people that walk around this planet, like Pastor Andy said yesterday, with that prophetic edge. And so in Numbers chapter 11, I want you to see kind of this idea of multiplication, which Jesus did the same thing in the New Testament. He took who He was and He multiplied it into others. The same thing was prophesied all the way back in the book of Numbers chapter 11 with Moses. Now here, Moses had led God's people out of Egypt, out of the world, out of Satan's grasp, out of bondage, and he led them through the wilderness, and he was leading them to their promised land. So for those of you that are new to the scriptures, let me kind of give you a background who the children of Israel are. Those are God's people that he used throughout the Old Testament. He made covenant with, and he said, "I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. If anyone touches you, I'm going to get all over them, and I'm going to take care of business. I'm going to take good care of you. Serve me, and you don't need to worry because I'm going to take really good care of you." And so they're walking through this wilderness to their promised land. We're going to get there in just a little bit, to their promised land. But Moses was the guy that God used as a deliverer to bring them up out of Egypt, to set them free from their captors. And Moses was a prophet. He would speak on behalf of God to the people, and he would help them know what was on God's mind. Moses was overwhelmed by his position. There were hundreds of thousands of Israelites that he was leading. And they all had problems. They had crisis. They were all walking through this desert of their life. And they all had questions and needed answers. And they needed to know what was in God's heart. And they needed to know what God would say about this. And they needed God's touch on their life. And Moses was trying to do it all himself. So here we are again with this idea that one person cannot meet the need of humanity. A few spirit-filled people cannot meet the need of humanity. A few rock stars of Jesus cannot meet the need of the world. You know, and Moses was a real advocate of this. He was a real advocate saying, you know, once he realized, I can't do this. Maybe sometimes us pastors need to realize we can't do all this. Maybe we've held it thinking it was our responsibility rather than realizing it's this multiplication process. Moses got to a place and said, this is going to kill me if I don't change something. You see, the weight of the world was never meant to be on our shoulders, even as Christians. It's on Jesus' shoulders, but not one of us was called to change the whole world on our own. We were called to change the world together, okay? And to celebrate each other's strengths and to celebrate each other's ministry, to celebrate each other's potential, and we all have the same Holy Spirit to do the job. And so here Moses is having a hard time. His father-in-law comes in and he says, Moses, this isn't right. This isn't working. You need help. And so he went and prayed about it. And God told him, I need you to pick out 70 elders from the crowd, 70 elders from the people. And I'm going to take the same spirit. Now, there's only one spirit. Can we understand that? There's one Holy Spirit. And I'm going to take that same Holy Spirit, Moses, that's on you. And I'm going to multiply it on these 70 other elders. And then they're going to help you do this. And so God began to show us that not one man or one woman can do the whole work on their own. Here's something cool about this. When God took the spirit from Moses, or multiplied the spirit, I should say, that was on Moses, under these 70 elders, I want you to see something. Moses lost nothing. He gained capacity. And so sometimes leaders and pastors, when we begin to empower people or we begin to release them to lay hands on the sick and release them to pray deliverance into people's life or release them to prophesy, and you might think, well, then I'm not the only one they're coming to anymore. Moses lost nothing. He gained capacity in empowering the volunteers or empowering the people. Like Pastor Andy said yesterday, give the power back to the people. Moses was able to do more and he was able to fulfill his destiny in a greater capacity. So here in Numbers chapter 11, have you found it yet?
Yeah.
All right, we see this whole scenario kind of unfolding where God says, okay, call these 70 elders together. And so verse 24, Moses went out, told the people the words of the Lord. Also, he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and he stationed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him, and he took of the Spirit, capital S, he took of the Spirit who was upon him and placed that Spirit on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, rested upon them, they prophesied. They spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But they did not do it again. But two men remained in the camp. The name of one was Ildad, and the name of the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those who had been registered, but they'd not gone out to the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. And what makes me passionate about that is that notice the enthusiasm of God that he still filled these two guys that didn't even show up for the meeting. Think about that. Again, we think God is kind of hoarding it in on a select few, but God, I think, is getting a point across here. He's saying, look, these guys aren't even worthy of it. They didn't show up for the meeting, but you know what? Their name was on the roll, so I'm going to fill them anyway. God is trying to get his spirit into those people. He's not trying to hoard it. He's not trying to give one man a name. He's trying to get a job done. He's trying to get a job done. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Ildad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. But Moses said to him, and I love that, Joshua was saying, like, how could they be prophesying? God had already empowered them, and Joshua was upset. Stop them from prophesying. Don't let them do it. They didn't show up for the meeting. They're not a part of our select group. They don't deserve to prophesy. I love Christians, man. I love believers. If there's a chance to condemn someone, we'll find it. Amen. To keep them on the outs. But Moses' response said this, "Are you jealous for my sake?" Listen to him. "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon all of them." Man, shouldn't that be our prayer? Even as pastors, as leaders, it's a passion that people would have that same anointing that's on the leadership, so that they can be leaders themselves, so that they can go lead more people out of their captivity and to go take it to those pharaohs and those dictators, those spirits of captivity and bondage that are holding God's people in slavery. We need more deliverers, and those deliverers need the Spirit of God upon them to say to the enemy, "Let God's people go." Amen. And when there's impossible situations like Red Seas in front of people's lives, we could stand there and with God's influence and God's ability help them walk through those waters that would try to destroy them and take on those enemy armies that would try to defeat people's lives. We need more believers filled with the Spirit of God. Moses' prayer was, "Oh, that all God's people were prophets." Not just tongue talkers, but able to speak the word of the living God in the situation that people are in. See, prophets are there to speak God's mind into a person's world. You know, too many times we think that prophets are just there, when you're confused of what a prophet is, they think a prophet is there to just tell people everything they're doing wrong. But many times prophets come in and say, "You don't think there's a solution, but God's going to make a way. When all hope is lost and all you see is famine, in 24 hours, there's going to be plenty." So prophets can also bring hope, amen, into people's hurting worlds. Prophets can also come in and say, "You've been in captivity far too long. It's time for you to come out of captivity." See, prophetic people, we are a prophetic people. And maybe that word creeps some people out. It kind of scares you. That's okay. But I want you to get adjusted to what that means. A prophetic people are people that can hear God and share His heart. They can know what God is saying about this situation right now, and they can speak God's mind and God's wisdom into that situation right now. See, because it's not the wisdom of man, it's the wisdom of God. See, which comes by the Spirit of God in you telling you what it is that needs to be said right now. Sometimes, as a believer, it takes great restraint to restrain what you think you should say and say what God is telling you to say. But man, how good it is when God's people are spread all over the world declaring God's good news, declaring God's wisdom, declaring God's authority in a person's situation. Moses desired, I love this, and may we have the same desire, oh, that all of God's people would function like this. They would all be leaders. They would all be Spirit-filled leaders. Don't be jealous for one or two people, Joshua. Don't try to make this a small thing. But oh, that all God's people would be prophets. And oh, that God would put His Spirit on all of them. And you know what happened? God did it. Yeah. See, to me, that was a prophetic prayer that Moses was hoping one day would happen. And it did in Acts chapter 2. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see that prayer answered on the day of Pentecost. And you're going to hear the same language. Acts chapter 2, you're going to see that when the Holy Spirit had come, now there was that 120 that Pastor Andy was talking about in the upper room, and the Bible says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that the Spirit of God rested upon each and every one of them. And then what happens is this big crowd gathers because they heard this sound like a mighty rushing wind of what was going on in the upper room. And so the crowd gathers outside that room, and the disciples come out of the room, which, praise God, I love that. They came out of the church building into the city streets, and they began to answer questions to people. What in the world is going on out here? And they said, "Look, we're not drunk as you suppose, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. If it was 11:30, maybe we would be. But it's just way too early for that right now." But Peter began to talk to them about what they were seeing. He began to talk to them about all this. He said in verse 17 that what you're seeing right now is a fulfillment of prophecy. "It shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all flesh. Now, what spirit is this? It's the Spirit of God. A long time ago, the Lord talked to me that the Holy Spirit, and I just want to make you comfortable. Those of you that are new to church, and here I'm talking about being a prophetic people and being Spirit-filled. Some of those things are confusing to you, so I want to bring you some confidence in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just a spirit from God. He is the Spirit of God. How many of you can trust God the Father? Anybody? Don't you know God the Father loves us? He has a Father's heart, praise God. We can boldly go into His throne of grace, find help in time of need. God the Father loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would be saved and not perish. Amen? Amen. So how we know we can trust God the Father. How many know we can trust God the Son? Jesus, God the Son. They're three in one, right? They're all the same heart. They're the same mind. They're the same spirit. They're the same. Jesus proved to us that we can trust Him. You can trust the nail-pierced hand of your Savior that took your place and took my place. I can trust His will for me is good. If He touches my life, it's going to be a good touch. Amen. I can trust my God, and my God is Jesus. I can trust Jesus. But in the same way, and this is what I want people to see, in the same way, the Holy Spirit is God. He's no less trustworthy than God the Father, God the Son. They're all the same. He's not another spirit from God. He's not just some angelic spirit from heaven. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen. Sometimes we kind of treat it like God the Father. Oh, He's amazing. He's loving. He's wonderful. Jesus, my Savior. And then God the Holy Spirit, it's like He's kind of like the weird uncle we keep in the family room at Thanksgiving. It's like we don't want you to go and meet Uncle Larry. You know, you bring your girlfriend over for Thanksgiving. You know, here's Dad, here's Mom. They're wonderful. They're sweet. Just don't go in the living room. Let him watch football. He'll be fine. But you have to understand, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, they're all the same. Yeah. And so in the same way, you can have peace when we say God loves you. The Holy Spirit is God. You can have peace and assurance when the presence of Jesus, because you want to know something? The presence of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And for those individuals that are confused or intimidated or they're afraid when the Spirit starts to move, we say, look, if you've ever felt God, that's the Holy Spirit. And it's never been a bad thing, has it? It's always been a blessing. We can trust and be confident and enjoy and just open up. That's what I want you to do. Just open up to the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have to just open up a little bit. Some people, when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, they just put a toe in because they're afraid what's going to happen to them. If I go all the way in with the Holy Spirit, something bad might happen. If you go all the way in with Jesus, is something bad going to happen? If you go all the way in with God the Father, same. Is something bad going to happen? So if you go all the way in with the Holy Spirit, is something bad going to happen? No. Say, that was really simple, Kevin. I know. You can trust the Holy Spirit of God. He's not the weird one. Many times people in the name of the Spirit have been weird, but the Holy Spirit has been sent to continue the work and the ministry of Jesus in this world. And we need Him on our lives. And like Moses was saying, fill all God's people with the Spirit. Because so many people need deliverers. So many people need freedom. So many people need God's word and wisdom in their situation. There's too much work to be done for one person. And so I'm trying to put a passion in you this morning to be saying, God, fill me afresh with Your Holy Spirit. Or God, help me not to be on the outside looking in because I'm comfortable with God the Father. I'm comfortable with God the Son. But I've kind of kept God the Holy Spirit at arm's length. I want you to be embraced by God, all of God, not two-thirds of God. Amen. All of God. And to just be able to run into all those things like the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit and the workings of the Spirit and the talents of the Spirit and just be able to embrace them comfortably and wholeheartedly and openly. And so here in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter saying, it shall be in the last day, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit. You need to understand the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor Kevin, you haven't gotten any farther on that verse. I know. God said, God is doing it. See, pastors don't fill you with the Holy Spirit. God fills you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can trust what comes from the hand of God. The Bible tells us in other places, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Those same nail-pierced hands are putting His Spirit in your life. If you can trust what comes from the hand of Jesus, He is bringing this to you. He is bringing it. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing it. I will do this. I will pour forth of my Spirit, not another Spirit, on all mankind. Like Moses was praying. Not just one or two, three, four individuals, but men and women, young and old, rich and poor. Amen? Every nationality, every tribe, every tongue. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will pour forth in those days of my Spirit. And they shall, what? Prophesy. Speak to this world on my behalf. Speak into people's hurting places. Not their wisdom, my wisdom. Speak. And you know what? Something, when God speaks, God can create something out of nothing. God can reveal. God can unravel mystery. God, when God speaks, it's not like you speaking, which is why I want you to shift and be, you know, to desire spiritual gifts like we're supposed to make it a priority, really, is what it means. Desire spiritual gifts. Why would that be in the Scripture? The Scripture tells us to desire these things. Because you were never to do this work in the natural alone. You're meant to do it with the Spirit. But you know, when God speaks something, He creates. It's bigger. It's anointed. There's power in those words. Sometimes you think, why would me sharing this word in my heart that I sense, why would that do anything? It's just a sentence. It's not just a sentence. It's an inspired sentence. It's a sentence that releases not only information, but it releases God's anointing of what He was trying to say. Because when God says something, with what He says comes the power to accomplish that which He said. It's not just words. Like Pastor Andy was saying, you are not just mere men and women. You are a prophetic people. Yes, if you show up on the scene and have coffee and give all just your own input on things, it's just information. But when the God on the inside of you starts to say, excuse me, I have something to say to this. Would you just shut up for a minute and let me say something through you? One sentence can take that lady whose husband walked out on her and she's in total depression right now, can move that cloud of darkness out of her life, give her a sense that her life is not over and God has a future and a hope for her life. So it's not just your word. God spoke it through you. And you know what? We all need to be engaged and intentional and aware that God's going to put me in those types of situations because of what's on the inside of you. Not because you've earned it, not because you've qualified for it, but because of what He has placed on the inside of you. And you begin to think, it's not just me giving advice. Man, if I was just giving advice, you shouldn't listen to anything I have to say. Because half the time, I don't even agree with myself. I mean, you could say it confidently and people think you know what you're saying, but truthfully, I have no idea what I just said. And if I say it with a Scottish accent, everyone will believe me. Because it just sounds awesome. I just want to encourage us to be open that God from the beginning was wanting a Spirit-filled people, not a Spirit-filled pastor who does all the works of the Spirit. You don't have a Spirit-filled church until all your people are moving in the gifts of the Spirit. See what I'm saying? You have a very limited view of what a Spirit-filled church is if you think you and your wife and a few key pastors do all the work. That is not a Spirit-filled church. It's a Spirit-filled leadership team. Spirit-filled church is every member of the body, fitly joined together, filled with the Spirit, knowing how to use the anointing on the inside of them, not just in the church, but everywhere you put your feet. Wherever there's bondage, wherever there's people that need deliverance and freedom from captives and sins and addictions, which is all over the world, the stage of the world, then that's where the Spirit-filled church needs to go. Again, I use an illustration about the value of being filled with the Spirit. And it has to do with, I believe we've gone through a great generation of valuing the salvation experience. There's a lot of people that are great with being saved and the grace message. And I love a grace message. I'm a grace preacher. Praise God. I think we all should be. What other message do you have? But that we didn't deserve it and God gave it to us. Amen. He did it for us. Praise God. But so many times we stop at people just getting saved. And we talk about what can wash away my sins. What can make me whole again? I love talking about the blood of Jesus. I had one of the best sermons this year. Yeah, so you're bragging on yourself, Pastor Kevin. Yeah, it was awesome. On the blood of Jesus. Unfortunately, it was in a snowstorm and about 200 people were here to hear it. But it was one of my favorite messages of the year. On the blood of Jesus. And I think we should brag on the blood of Jesus. And we shouldn't be intimidated and get rid of that language. Some people say, oh, don't talk about the blood anymore. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, none of us would be going to heaven. See, the church didn't save us and forgive us of our sins. The blood of Jesus did that. Okay, there'd be no church without the blood of Jesus. And so I'm grateful for the blood of Jesus. And so the blood of Jesus washes us, cleanses us. And it's kind of like this glass. The blood of Jesus buys us, purchases us, and he washes us and he cleanses us. And so many times that's where Christianity stops. We are washed and we are cleansed and we talk about it again and again. We're washed, we're cleansed, we're forgiven. We're washed, we're cleansed, we're forgiven again and again and again. And it's almost like Jesus bought the glass, he washed the glass, and then he sets it in the cabinet. But do you know, he didn't just buy this glass and wash this glass to set in the cabinet. He had a purpose in washing and cleansing this glass. What's that purpose? To fill it. Amen. He bought the glass and he washed the glass that the glass might be filled up till it's overflowing. Amen. Out into the world and out into everybody's life all around you. It wasn't ever meant to just be, let's brag on the cleansing. Why were you cleansed? So you could go to heaven? It's part of it. You were washed and cleansed so that you'd be ready to be filled. So that you were readied to be filled. And you know what's cool about this whole illustration? The quality of the cleansing speaks of the value of what's about to go inside of it. The vessel. And so absolutely, it took the blood of God to prepare you because you were about to contain or be filled with the Spirit of God. So you can't speak enough about the quality of the blood of Jesus, the greatest cleansing agent the world has ever known. Though your sins be as scarlet, he will make you as white as snow. But not to be empty and set aside. He wasn't just cleansing you to get you to heaven. See, Jesus was doing all out of this work. We have to see the heart of God. That God was bringing Jesus not just to get you to heaven, but one of the roles of the blood of Jesus is not just to forgive you of your sin, but was to prepare, get you cleansed and ready to contain God himself. He was making a house for himself in you. He was making you ready for this filling. So when we just preach the blood is to forgive you of your sin, we're only preaching half the story. The blood was prepping you that you might contain the Spirit of the living God. Because the world needs God and we're carriers of God to them. Amen. We're carriers of Jesus in their world. Amen. The Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 10:38 says it like this. You know God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so the reason the Spirit is on us, I need to give you the why here. Because I don't want to limit us to tongue talkers. I thank God for tongue talking. And I'm going to talk tongue talking in the next topic. So that you have understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding. And I want you to understand the value of why we speak in tongues. That'll be my next session. But this today is more than I do I speak in, is it to tongue or not to tongue? That is the question. It's Some of you asked, never mind, I'm not going to say that. Stop it. Stop it, Kevin. Don't say what you want to say right there, even though it's really funny. No, don't tempt me now, Andy. Don't tempt me now, Andy. I'm not British. It won't go over as well. They'll just think I'm crude. You guys, they think you're amazing. Where was I going with this? Tongues, right. It's about power. Listen, Acts 1:8, you're going to receive power. Power to what? Power so you feel like you're important? No, power to go do something. Not just in church, but in the city you live in and beyond. And Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to go around and do good. Sometimes we make it so creepy to be a spirit-filled prophetic people. Listen, stop creepifying everything. It's God in you to go do good where good needs to be done. Amen. And to heal all who are being oppressed of a devil. There's still a devil out there, and you're the only one that can stop him. You hear me? If we don't believe in a devil, then I understand where you don't think it's necessary. It's necessary. Jesus preached in one. And you're the only one on this planet with the authority to stop them in people's lives. And they don't have to wait to come to church. You are the church. Where you go, the church goes. You are filled with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. If hell could have stopped one thing, he would have stopped Jesus from rising from the dead. They couldn't stop that, and it can't stop you. Amen. You are filled with that same spirit. Jesus was filled. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around, did something with it. Doing good with it. You know, you might be doing good with children in how you teach and raise them. Do you understand? You can do that with the help of the Spirit. So it's not just limited in your own knowledge. It's the Holy Spirit in you helping you raise each kid the way they need to be raised and need to be developed into the world changers that they are. And even if you didn't have the parenting that you should have had, God, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you helping you raise these kids to make sure they lack nothing. Because you can pull from heaven to get what you need to do this job. We need to pull it out of the church realm and into the world that needs delivering and healing and freedom. I thought to myself, what does a prophet look like in this generation? Prophet looks like you. You know, it doesn't look like camel hair eating locusts. Praise God. Why is it that people think when they become prophetic or prophets that they have to like stop wearing normal clothes and start dressing like a Bible character? You understand? What they dressed like back then was normal for them. Maybe not the camel hair thing. I don't know if that was ever in fashion or not. I'll have to have that conversation. But if you walk around in a toga and a stick, or a robe and a stick, thinking that makes you a prophet, I'm telling you, you look weird. And you would look weird to them if you went to their generation in skinny jeans. God needs prophetic people, people who can speak on his behalf, who can bring his power and his word into every culture, every environment, every class system, every opportunity, because there's people that need deliverance in each of those areas. I heard a song one time where someone says, we don't need another prophet in a three-piece suit. And I understand what they were saying. They were saying, we don't need a prophet who's like, give me $100, I'll prophesy. We don't need that. We don't need some prophets who just drive Rolls Royces all over the place. I get the heart of that song. But truly, I think we do need prophets in three-piece suits. And we need prophets in board shorts. And we need prophets in dresses. And we need prophets in jeans, and prophets who can get to places and look like normal, look like people, but have supernatural ability in those situations. You see? Here's the deal. Some of the people that need freedom from Pharaoh work in a boardroom on the 45th floor of downtown Chicago, and they're all going to wear suits and ties. And if you come in camel hair with crazy jack hair and a stick, you won't even make it through the lobby. Because security is like, we got a nut job in here. But the Lord has something to say to them. You're going to say it to a padded room. But that education, God's going to use your education and use your occupation to open doors so that you can sit in that boardroom with those Fortune 500 leaders, and when they're all scratching their head of what to do, or they're trying to tank the company this way or do something that's not godly, you stand up and say, I have an idea. Or my heart's telling me something else. And you begin to speak and give a presentation that that God himself is presenting. And then you make that company a whole lot of money. And guess what? You have a whole lot of influence. And now these people are coming to you saying, how come you live so full of character? Your life is so full of love. Your marriage is so healthy. Your world is so put together. And how come every time you say something, it works? And you say, let me introduce you to the deliverer. Let me introduce you to the one that's doing all that. What does a prophet look like? Looks like you. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Yeah. Again, it's all about doing something. It's all about not just power to say, I'm powerful. That's where we've limited ourselves as Christians sometimes. We want power so that we can say we've got power, but power unused isn't power. I have a lot of batteries that sit in the drawer, and they aren't worth anything until I put them in something. It's time for them to be used. We don't just have power to have power. It's when we start using that power that it does what it's supposed to do. It matters. Real quick illustration, then I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to have some prayer ministry. I like pictures. I'm a picture person. I like stories, and I think things help us kind of see things in a bigger picture when we paint pictures. The Bible gives us a lot of images, Old Testament, New Testament, and some of these images in the Old Testament give us revelation of the capacity of something in the New Testament, or the fulfillment. When it comes to pass, we kind of see then the fulfillment of it, and we're like, oh, that makes sense. That's why that must have been that way. And so I want to tell you a little bit about a picture in the Old Testament that I think points to what we're talking about. Again, back to Moses leading people out of Egypt. They passed through the Red Sea, which if you go through biblical theology, a lot of people will say the Red Sea was a typology of water baptism. They were coming out of the world. They were coming out of bondage. They were coming out of oppression from the devil and addiction and a land of not enough, a land of fear, a land of curse. And they were coming into God's promise. And so people will say that when they walk through the water of the Red Sea, it's a great imagery of water baptism. Are you following me so far? All right, I don't want to lose you. And so there's that wonderful walking through the Red Sea moment, symbolic of, you know, it's a new beginning, out of the world into a new beginning. Well, then they walk through another body of water called the Jordan River. Now, when I was growing up as a kid, for some reason, all of the songs in church told me the Jordan River meant I was going to die. All of those songs were like crossing over Jordan. On the other side of Jordan, we're going to be in the glory land. But the truth is, if the Jordan River was symbolic of dying, and if the promised land, Canaan land, was symbolic of heaven, then heaven's kind of troubling because it was filled with giants and enemies and fortified cities, and everybody wanted to kill me. Yeah. And so I began to kind of read on it and pray about it, and I really believe that crossing through that Jordan River is a second baptism. Is a picture of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another reason why I believe that. Jesus, when he went to begin his ministry, stepped into the Jordan River. And his was not a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism of power. Because when he came up out of that water in the Jordan River, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him and lighted on him like a dove. And what did he do with it? He went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. That baptism in the Jordan started Jesus to go into his Canaan land. And what did they do when they came out of Jordan in the Old Testament, when they went through it? They went to work getting rid of giants, pulling down strongholds, and possessing God's promises for their life. I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for those purposes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, like Jesus showed me, when he came up out of his Jordan, he went and started kicking the devil out of people's lives. He went and started turning tables over in Jerusalem, bringing the house of God back in order. He went setting captives free after his baptism in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit came on him to go to work and to bring God's covenant promises to people's lives. See, when he saw something and said, these things should not be in a person's life, being that person's a child of Abraham, he had the power to do something about it. And when they came up out of the Jordan in the Old Testament, they came up in, I believe, ready to go do and receive what God had promised them. You know, God's promised us healing, but you know, the devil's not going to give it away. God's promised us territories and mountaintops of influence to be salt of the earth, light of the world, cities on hills. But you know what? There's other strongholds on those mountaintops that don't want you up there. There's Jerichos that are up there that are fortified. They've been up there a long time, tightly shut up, very tough walls, very stronghold. They've been there a long time. But guess what? You are filled with the Spirit of God and you are well able to go to that mountaintop position. Amen. See, there are some business arenas where the devil's been sitting on those mountaintops for a long time. But you've come through that Jordan and you are filled with the Spirit and power to go up to those mountaintop arenas, those mountaintop places. Mountaintops of media influence. Go take back Hollywood, somebody. Mountaintops of economy. Go take back the business arena. Mountaintops of education. See those strongholds, those fortifications, those giants in the land that are trying to keep you from possessing what God promised the children of God. God promised you those places. But not to go up there on your own. You pass through the Jordan first. You are empowered by the Spirit of God to go up there. Amen. Are you following me and tracking on this? If you look at it, everything the Spirit of God brings into our lives is bringing a promise of God into our lives. The power possesses the promise. If it's healing, it possesses the healing. If it's freedom from a spirit, it possesses freedom from the spirit. If it's wisdom, like word of wisdom, word of knowledge, that's a promise of God that He's going to give you, His mind, the mind of Christ. Everything built into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everything built into the gifts of the Spirit is all about possessing land, promise, bringing God's will into generations. It's not about us dancing around an altar speaking in tongues alone. It's about changing and possession of the regions. Which is why the people of God need to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's why Moses said, one man can't do this by himself. But oftentimes, and this is where we're going to end right now, when God begins to move in a region, or God begins to move in somebody's life, He has something to say to them first. He speaks by His Spirit, and then people get the power behind it. It's that Word and that Spirit dancing together, like Andy was saying yesterday. And so we're going to end a little differently. I believe God is doing something in you through this conference. And I believe God is commissioning you, and God's, you know, He's opening doors, and He's filling you up. But I believe God also has things He wants to say into people's lives directly. And in saying it into your life directly, it's going to impart the ability to see those things happen. So it's not just teaching. It's not just teaching. And so I'd like everyone to stand, if you would, please, because I'm going to end a little differently. I have my prophetic team coming forward, and they're going to be here as we close and dismiss to minister to each and every one that might want some ministry. One of the reasons I love what you're about to see here is, whether you're visiting or whatever, that these wonderful prayer team that are coming up are all volunteers. They're people just like all of us. Amen. Not the hot hand of a spiritual speaker on a platform. They're individuals who love Jesus just like us. Business owners, moms, dads, filled with the Spirit. But as they begin to pray, they're going to ask God, Lord, would you have anything to speak directly into a person's life? And I know you're going to hear something from Jesus. Whenever you give God a chance to talk, He talks. It's true. God is a talker. He calls Himself the Word. He's a jabberbox. He loves to talk. The hard part is most of us don't stop to listen. He is a talker. And so when I close right now, I'm just about to just say a quick prayer of closing. The food trucks are going to be available. Pastor's lunch, you guys can come over whenever you'd like or whatever. And I ask pastors, I would encourage you to come and get ministry, and you're going to be blessed by getting ministry from people who don't have a title of pastor. They're Spirit-filled believers, just like Moses prayed for. Amen. And I thank God that not just pastors can hear the voice of God in somebody's life. Regular people. We're all regular people, if you think about it. We're all part of the same body, we just have different functions. But if you come and you say, you know what, I need God to talk directly into a situation in my life. I need the Lord to speak to me. You know, I believe God has something to say. And you're going to be ministered to. And God, as He speaks to you, remember what I said, that Word of God, as it's coming forward, it's not just words. God's ability is in there to go bring about what it is that He said. Amen. And so today, we don't just want to talk theology. We want you to experience what it is we're talking about. And the other part of this is, these individuals are great examples. You can do these things even outside church. Some of these individuals have given me testimonies where they're just delivering a shipment of something somewhere, gas station or whatever. They're doing their job. Yet then the Spirit of God that they've learned how to listen to begins to talk in their heart and give them a word for somebody behind the counter. They know it's great. They don't start spitting and shouting at the guy behind the counter. They're just like, you know what? I've got something in my heart that I think maybe the Lord's telling me to tell you. And with their mouth, with their tone, like Andy was saying yesterday, with their personality, they just begin to share what's in their heart. And so these individuals here are not just here to do this here in church. We're called to do this wherever God tells us to do it. I'm called to be a shepherd anywhere I am, not just when I'm in church. I'm called to teach and to preach and to evangelize and to pray for the sick wherever. And the same thing are true here. And so again, this is all just modeling stuff to help you kind of get it in your head. Let me pray. I'm going to dismiss. Lunch wagons are open. Pastor's lunch will be open just a little bit. But enjoy ministry. Have that time. We'll be back in here at 12:30 for the next session with Pastor Derek. Heavenly Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you for what you've been ministering today, coming out from the crowd and being a disciple. I also thank you that you're telling us, again, the importance of being spirit people, the importance of being filled with the Spirit and speaking on behalf of God, life into people's world, freedom, the mind of God. And Lord, that there's something supernatural about what we're saying. It's not just words, it's God's words. So Lord, I pray even in this time, if anyone in this room needs encouragement, they need the mind of God on something. They need you. Lord, I thank you. These wonderful volunteers up here who set great time aside to prepare their heart and to listen, that Lord, you would flow freely through them and that people would receive everything that you would have for them. Nothing from us, only that which is from you, that you would be worshipped, that you would be praised. They would know you see them, that people would know you see them. And you know what they need to hear, and you're telling them what they need, and that things are about to change. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.